Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we're beginning in verse 27. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 27, reading through the end of the chapter, this is God's word. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. We said when we started the study of the Gospel of Mark that Mark is the one whom God used to write this, but that Mark was influenced greatly by the Apostle Peter. He was a student of Peter and a companion of Peter, and so the perspective that we get in this Gospel account repeatedly is that of Peter's emphasis, and you see how it lines up with what Peter preaches in the book of Acts. Well, one of the things that you notice when you're following this pattern is the fact that Peter is kind of humble about what he says, how he portrays himself in the things that he told Mark. For instance, we've already read the passage where Jesus walked on the water. Peter doesn't mention the fact that he said, "Lord, tell me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out and actually walked on the water. He was the only one of the disciples that did that. But then he got distracted by the wind and the waves, and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord saved him, brought him back in the boat, saying, "Oh, you have little faith." Peter leaves that part of the story out. I would have wanted to tell that about myself. But you see, Peter's more godly than I am, and he leaves out the fact that he was the only one of the 12. Even though he did sink, he was the only one of the 12 who actually got out of the boat and walked to Jesus. He also includes this about how he was rebuked for rebuking Jesus, and we're going to look at that. But he doesn't tell as much about what he said in Jesus' response that was so excellent. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" They gave various answers. He said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. That's absolutely true. It totally fits with what the other Gospels report. The other Gospels just give us a little more detail. Because in the other Gospels we read that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God." And Jesus responded by saying, "You are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I'm going to call you the Rock. Peter doesn't share that in this telling of the gospel. He doesn't make much of himself and what he gets right. He certainly, clearly is going to depict his betrayal of Jesus, his denial of Jesus. So he's not trying to make himself look better. He's trying to keep the focus where it belongs, and that's on Jesus. So, Peter did clearly get it right. You are the Christ. Having just gotten it right, the next thing that happens is that he gets it completely wrong. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. Not he might be killed. He must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, Peter's just said he's the Christ. Now he's rebuking the Christ? Yes, because Jesus was sounding negative. Peter apparently had been watching Christian broadcasting that tells us just to think positive. The fact is, Peter made this mistake because he loved Jesus. He loved him. He would say to him on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he would say, "Lord, even if they all forsake you, I won't." But he would. Peter wanted to do the right thing, and if that meant keeping Jesus from going to the cross, by golly, he'd be there for Jesus. He's the one who's going to cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. I mean, he's like some of us can be sometimes. Now, how could you do a 180 like that? How could we? When Peter was asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter knew who Jesus was. And so he said it. He spoke truth. You are the Christ. But when Jesus, the Christ, that they'd waited for, the one who was going to come and do what they longed for, set them free from Rome, restore Israel's glory, that was the dream they cherished. Acts chapter 1, after Jesus has risen from the dead, and he's taught them that all these things that happened were what God had said had to happen. It was the only way we could be saved. They ask him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now that you've done that, you know, cross and empty tomb and all that, I mean, that was great, but now are you going to give us what we were waiting for?" Because they really didn't understand. And they certainly didn't want to see him suffer. Would you want to see somebody you love go through what Jesus did? And yet Jesus was telling them the truth. He said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. It had to happen. It was the only way we could be saved. Apart from the cross, there is no salvation. And yet there are a lot of people who want to preach a Christianity that doesn't include the cross. Well, how do you discern whether the thought that you're having is of God, like thou art the Christ, or if this thought I'm having is from the enemy? Well, let me give you there. I mean, this is not the only rule for discernment, but this is number one, okay? Rule number one, if you're trying to decide whether your thought is from the enemy or from God, if it causes you to doubt or disagree with God's word, it's from the enemy. What's the first thing Satan ever says in the Bible? Did God really say that? And when Eve tries to dialogue with him, he says, oh, that's not true. She says, God said this. No, not true. You will not surely die. God just knows that if you eat the fruit, you're going to be like him. He's a liar and the father of lies. Anytime anybody tries to sow seeds of doubt regarding the trustworthiness of God's word, you just need to know where they're getting their stuff. Those seeds are coming straight out of the pit of hell. So, Peter not only contradicted what Jesus was saying, what Jesus was saying was that the scriptures would be fulfilled, because the scriptures had said that Messiah had to die. Read the book of Isaiah. But it didn't matter. It wasn't what Peter wanted to hear. It wasn't what Peter wanted to have happen. Peter just knew that he loved Jesus and Jesus is the Messiah. And so all this talk about having to die, no, no, no. Surely not, Lord. You just got to think positive. We're going to go up there to Jerusalem and you're going to just nail it. No, actually, they're going to nail Jesus to the cross. And he's going to let them. And he's going to suffer and he's going to die. Just as he said, just as the prophets said. Well, you need to know that the devil can also quote the Bible. He did it when he was tempting Jesus. That's why you need to really know the Lord and not just the scriptures. But you will know the Lord as you know the scriptures. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Feed on his word. You want to be able to recognize his voice. If you want to be able to recognize his voice, see what he's already said. Every time I'm going to preach, every time I'm going to teach the scriptures, I'm praying that God will help us to hear his voice as we study the scriptures. Because this is his word. It's already given. The canon is complete. We don't need more Bible. We need this Bible. We need to study his word, see what it says. Well, does God still speak to his people? Yes, he does. But we recognize his voice because it is consistent with his word. God will never, ever, ever contradict himself. Because God doesn't lie. So, we want people to know the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures. He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures. This is what God had promised. This is what Jesus did. Now, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the gospel.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things. First of all, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
He then began to teach them, Son of Man must suffer many things. Peter takes him aside and rebukes him. Jesus, when he turned and looked at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Let me tell you something. Jesus is coming again. He didn't say, if I get to come back. He said, when he comes in the Father's glory. You can count on it. And every knee will bow. Who is going to bow? All creatures of our God and King. I mean, history is headed for its appointed end. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I'd be happy not to have lunch today. You understand? I'd be perfectly delighted to be in heaven today. But it may be that God intends for things to get a lot tougher before they get better. Oh, Pastor, don't talk like that. I just, you know, you had me really kind of excited there for a moment. Now you always seem to find a way to bring me down. The cross was unavoidable for Jesus. Peter's trying to say, no, you don't need to go there. You don't need to do that. Don't talk that way. Jesus said, the Son of Man must suffer, must be crucified and buried and rise again, because God said so. After he had risen, he opened their minds and showed them the scriptures, and they saw over and over and over. And that's why Peter on the day of Pentecost is going to say, look, what happened was exactly what the prophet said was going to happen. But the cross wasn't just unavoidable for Jesus. The cross is unavoidable for anybody who wants to follow Jesus. Jesus said that too. And you and I can't have Jesus without the cross. Well, you mean he had to die on the cross for us. Yes, he had to die on the cross for us. But that's not all. He said, if you're going to follow me, there's a cross involved. You're going to have to die to self. You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, some really, you know, radical people think that that means if you're really serious about winning the world for Christ, you need to build a large wooden cross, put some wheels on the lower end, and walk around America telling people to repent. I'm not saying that God might not tell someone to do that. I'm telling you that is not what this passage means. The cross was not a piece of jewelry. The idea in Jesus' day, and I think it's lovely now to have a cross around your neck. But in Jesus' day, the idea of somebody wearing a cross for decoration would be totally bonkers. I mean, they couldn't have imagined such a thing. That would be kind of like in our generation if somebody had a little gold electric chair around their neck. Okay? And somebody's like, oh, that's interesting. What is that? It's an electric chair. Okay? Why would you have an electric chair around you? I mean, we're not, are you talking like a recliner? No. I'm talking about a place of execution. Why would Christians wear a cross as an object of beauty? Because on that cross, our Savior died for us. And that cross, by the way, is empty. He is not still on it. He died once and for all. And now, the tomb is also empty. He rose again. He is alive. And you and I can not just know about him, we can know him. And we can know his voice. Jim Elliot said famously, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." If you're holding back and saying, well, you know, I certainly believe Jesus is real. I even believe the Bible's true, but I've got other priorities. I've got other things. I've other responsibilities, you know. I mean, you must understand. I have people that I have to take care of. And there's some things that the Bible says that I can't go along with that. You need to know where that voice is coming from. God's word is true. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And I'm coming again. You want to be ready. You want to be ready. There is nothing that you have, nothing you could possibly gain, obtain, hold on to, that compares to your relationship with Jesus. I pray that you would bow before him. Consider what he has done for you. The fact that our debt is paid in full. And now he says, come, trust me with everything. Give me your life. Please, don't be afraid to give him everything. He gave everything to save you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is true. Thank you that your voice does not change. You are ever the same. Thank you that we can come to you not on the basis of our performance, not on the basis of our striving, but on the basis of your grace and the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come in his name asking that you would have your way in and through us. Do your will, please, Lord. We offer our lives to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.